Pinocchio's got Jiminy Cricket, Hans got Chewie, and I've got Janet. My conscience, my furry sidekick, my pussy. My name is Jody, and I welcome you to the Conversations with My Pussy podcast. Hey, everybody. It is midnight on a Friday night. I had a full work week and decided to take a little snooze, which ended up being probably 3 hours, maybe four. So I'm kind of wide-ass awake, and my son is dog-sitting, so he is sleeping elsewhere tonight. So I thought it would be a great time to take advantage of the situation, maybe pull an all-nighter, or at least stay up really late, recording a couple of these, because I have been really struggling to find alone time to do this. It's interesting to me that the things that I'm adding into my life require alone time. And I also have had the least amount of alone time that I've had since my divorce, for sure, which was like 8.5 years ago. So I have to get creative with it. Part of me wants to be the responsible adult and stick to a sleep schedule so that I get the most restful nights possible. I understand the importance of regular sleep. However, I'm just not there yet, you know? Every once in a while, I gotta stay up real late. I love staying up late. I can't wait to have a lifestyle where I get to decide the sleep schedule that works for me. I'm completely in control of my time, and I have lots of time for leisure, and I can structure my day however the fuck I want. So anyway, all of these audio settings have been really bothering me. I think I have something figured out, and then I go and listen to it, and it's a mess. I'm watching some tutorials. I subscribe to an Audacity course just explaining how to set things and why, and it's really been helpful. However, I'm struggling a bit to figure out how it all comes together, like as far as the sound settings. So I have a microphone, which has its own settings, and you have to position it correctly in order to get the best sound quality. And then the software I'm using, which is Audacity, has settings. And then the computer also has settings. So what I've had to do is kind of combine the information I'm getting from multiple different tutorials, put it all together in order to make an educated guess when it comes to how to set my computer audio. So anyway, I could keep going down that rabbit hole, but I've been down this hole for a while now, and it's time to just record. I think I have it set today, right now, better than I have in the past, so that's good, right? Well, anyway, I picked Audacity because I had used it years ago when I coached a couple of dance teams. I loved mixing music. That was one of my favorite parts of coaching. The worst part being the actual coaching, just the drama and the moms and the moms. Anyway, I was familiar with it. It'd been a while, but I knew I could catch on quickly, and I do think I do okay with it. However, I have a Mac, and I keep seeing tutorials about GarageBand, and I know there are people that use that and really like it. I just didn't want to learn a whole new software program, and GarageBand just sounds like, it sounds like a kid's game or something. I know it's a decent program. I don't know. But anyway, I'm thinking maybe that one has simplified it enough to where I don't have to fuck around with every single setting. I can trust computer people to have created a product for someone like me who's trying to get over perfectionism and simplify her life. Ooh, I just got a shimmy of energy up my spine. That tells me I need to try GarageBand. That's one of the things I want to talk about is the sensations in my body that I get when I have an answer. I'm looking for ways to improve my initial recording in order to minimize the amount of time it takes to edit. I have a couple of things recorded right now that the audio quality or just the style of my particular rant that night just aren't what they should be, you know? So I feel if the audio quality is consistently better, I can be a little more brave than I have been and put some of the stuff out that's a little weird. A little weirder than typical is probably more accurate there. But it's also full of things like breaking out into song, which I do all the time and up until this point have spared you, but I might leave some of it in. And then I also have very wild and crazy turns and twists and tangents when explaining my stories. And sometimes I can't follow them, so I don't expect you to try either. But I might put some of it out there. We'll see. Anyway, I feel I have my audio settings the best I can, and I've followed all the tips and tricks I can find when it comes to reducing mouth noise. However, I am highly aware of the mouth noise in this, and I don't know how the fuck to get rid of it. Today, I want to talk about my journey with birth control. And this all started with a message I've been getting from Janet. So a conversation I've been having with my pussy is that I need to remove my IUD. And it got me reflecting on my journey, my wild and crazy journey with intrauterine devices. So IUD is a form of birth control that is highly effective and it lasts a long time. And what it is, it's an intrauterine device. So a thing that goes inside your uterus. It's a little T-shaped thing, maybe about 2 inches tall or so, and it just fits inside the uterus. There's a few different types. Some of them are hormonal, which the one I experienced with hormones is called Mirena. I think that's the most common one. And there's also Paragard, which is made of copper. It's hormone-free, and something about the copper triggers something that prevents pregnancy. And it lasts longer than the hormonal ones. So anyway, they're highly effective once it's in, because that hurts like a motherfucker. Once it's in, you're good for 5 years or 10 years, depending on which type you have. So anyway, I've had one. Well, I've had multiple, and I will tell you all about that. But I've had one in consistently since my divorce 8 years ago. Actually, March. I remember it specifically being March of 2016. And at that point, I got Paragard, which is the copper one, lasting 10 years, thinking, I'm good. By the time I hit 50, I think, hopefully, I'll be ready to be done with this. The reason I remember it was March. So here I go on a little tangent, but I'm going to try my best to keep it tight so I don't go too far down that little rabbit hole, you know? After my divorce, I flew to Denver to meet a dude from the internet, and it was the first sexual experience I had after my divorce, and I realized I should probably get on birth control again. And that was a really stupid thing, going to Denver to meet a dude. Pretty sure he was married. He's a cop out there. And he's definitely one of the bastards. Anyway, shortly after that, I started planning to meet another dude from the internet in Phoenix. I had been chatting with him for a while. We met on a Myers-Briggs message board. That's what a fucking nerd I am, you guys. He's an ENTP and I am INTJ. And they mesh together in an interesting way. I do a thing called travel hacking. That's when you get a credit card with a big sign-on bonus for travel rewards like airline miles or hotel points, and you put all your spending on that card to meet the spending requirements, and then you get a new card and do it all over again. Well, I did that in 2015. Well, actually, 2014 would have been when I was doing the work, but in 2015, our family of four went from Iowa to Florida for 12 days. Which included 5 days at Disney, and we stayed at a Disney property, like, I forget what hotel chain it is at the moment. Marriott? No, it's not Marriott. We ain't that fancy. I have a spreadsheet. I'll look it up. See? Uh-oh, I said I wasn't going to go down this tangent. Anyway, Disney, 5 days. 7 other days in Florida, including a couple days on a beach, a rental car, space museum, a few other things, flights for four, boarding our dogs, parking at the airport, food, souvenirs, all of it. I tracked every penny. $2,000. That's it. $2,000 for all of that. And a majority of that was spent on the Disney tickets. Hotels were free. Flights were free. And then after I met the requirements for that trip, I started working towards the next one. We were going to go to Bermuda for 5 days. And that included 4 nights in this like beautiful beach resort, all inclusive food and shit. It didn't necessarily have to be Bermuda. It's just that this was a vacation scenario that these travel hacker experts put together for you to help you walk through it step by step. And we got divorced before Bermuda, so I had enough Westin points for 2 nights in Bermuda, which actually ended up being enough for 3 nights in Phoenix, and enough flights to fly myself and this other dude to meet there. Well, I think Tuesday before Saturday flights, I canceled because I was stressed the fuck out and had my IUD appointment to get it put in and I was bleeding. That was one of the major reasons. Also, I had a shit ton of work to do. I was working a very stressful job with a lot of paperwork. I did not have the capacity at that time and I just couldn't go, so I canceled. We've remained friends and connected until very recently. He made some shitty comments on one of my posts about abortion rights, and he called me a snowflake on my post. So I was like, fuck you, Doug. You're out of here. So glad I didn't waste my points on that. Anyway, that was my first IUD. That would have been 2016. I got the Paragard, the copper one, because I didn't want to fuck with hormones, and it was fine. There was initial pain, like probably the worst pain I've experienced. And I've got 2 rods and a bunch of screws in my right foot. I've had 2 C-sections. I had gallstones that resulted in pancreatitis that had me in the ER. That was fucking painful. And it was actually over Labor Day weekend. I was having pain so bad I wanted to go to the hospital. And I'm not a fucking lightweight, okay? And my ex-husband was like, can you wait till Tuesday so it doesn't have to be an ER visit? Those are really expensive. He just had a vasectomy and was like laid up in bed for like 3 days eating ice cream and watching movies. Fuck you, motherfucker. Oh, the pain was really fucking bad. Really bad. Oh, and also bikini waxing, like Brazilian waxing. That's pretty painful too. I think in the moment, I would say the bikini waxing is probably worse just because in the IUD, it's really quick. It's like a pinch and then it's done. I can feel it in there at times. Certain positions, larger inserted objects can push on it. And that freaks me out just a little bit, like that plastic poking around in there. Lately, Janet has told me it's time to have it removed. Mainly for that reason, I feel like. And also, too, I'm pushing 50 here. I'm 48. And, well, 1, I'm not getting laid. 2, when I do get laid, I practice safer sex. And 3, any partners where I haven't used condoms, it's because they have had a vasectomy and we have established a level of trust where we both feel doing so is safe. But it's been a while since I've had one of those. So anyway, I just don't need it. And combined with the work I'm doing, connecting to the divine feminine, really harnessing the sexual energy, it's just time to have that out of there. So anyway, I got the first one put in 2016. It was fine for a while. It was great. Actually, it was really great. I still keep thinking back to this one dude and this one night and that certain position. I could feel that motherfucker. And it took away from the experience because beyond that, it was really, really nice. It was a really good situation other than that. So anyway, fast forward a couple years, maybe. I don't know the exact timeline. I pulled it out accidentally one night. It was the middle of the night, and it was a heavy day of my period. And I'd gone to the bathroom and was changing my tampon. And I was struggling to find the string of the tampon. And when I did, finally, it was way up in there and I pulled it out. And oh shit, that's not a tampon. That's my IUD. Turns out I already pulled out my tampon. I was just too sleepy to remember. It did not hurt at all. And I had this little T in my hand. We pull that string and it folds up. It no longer is a T. It's now like a lowercase L, you know? Just folds right up. So I call my doctor's office, explain the situation, and they were like, I'm not sure what to do. I got a call back, and the doctor said she wants to do an exam, make sure everything looks okay, and if everything looks good, she'll put a new one in. So that's what happened. That's what we did. Everything looked great. As we're doing this, we're reflecting on all the other weird shit I've come to her with. My doctor was really cool. She was actually a nurse practitioner, and she's now retired. And I think it's been about 3 years now since I've seen someone else. And it's just not the same, you know? She was super cool. So anyway, I've always gone to her for strange things. It started out with a strange situation. I had a rash down there, dermatitis or something. I had already eliminated all of the things I could think of as far as detergents and personal care products and all of the things that you got to look at when it comes to a rash on your hoo-ha. And she said it very much looked like the contact dermatitis. I was coming into contact with something. We just didn't know what. She gave me a prescription, like topical thing, I think, and sent me on my way. And shortly after that, we had spring break and it went away. But then when we went back to school, it came back. So I learned it was from the toilet paper at the school. So I had to bring my own. So that was fun. That was my first one. The next visit, she's reinserting my IUD. Everything goes fine. We wrap things up. She leaves. I get dressed. And when she comes back, she gives me this card. You get a little, almost like a little membership card to keep in your purse that explains the device you have inside your body and when you need to remove it. This will need to be replaced in 5 years, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, why did that change? Last time it was 10. And she's like, I'll be right back. And she leaves. She comes back in. She's very serious. And she said, I am so, so sorry. We put the wrong IUD in you. We gave you Mirena and you wanted Paragard. And what it comes down to is the nurse just grabbed the wrong one and I didn't double check. I'd like you to go ahead and get undressed again. We're going to fix this before you leave. And I said, well, how about I just keep this one and I'll just see how it goes. She's like, are you sure? And I said, it really hurts and I'm not going to do that again today. I'm willing to give this a try to not have to do that today again. She said, okay, and made sure that I knew that if at any point I wanted it removed, to ask to talk to her nurse, she would get me back in as soon as possible and put the correct one in at no charge. And I'm like, yep, that's cool. I'll be good with that. That's fine. And this one gave me continuous spotting. And that's common, and it can last a while, but it typically goes away. And I was getting some chafing from panty liners. So I did some Googling, and I learned that sea sponges inserted into the vagina are a great alternative to a tampon even. Like, I don't use it for heavier flow. I'm not that trusting with it. But I prefer to use the smaller ones for days that I'm spotting. Imagine the biggest grapes you've ever seen. It's kind of like that sized. I soak it in peroxide. I put it in the sun. I make sure it's sanitary. You can reuse this shit. So anyway, long story short, you use those when you're spotting. And the other advantage to that over a tampon, which is excessive, in a panty liner is it's squishy. It kind of feels like vagina. So my partners had no idea. It took care of it, you know? Sex workers use these all the time. Apparently, it's a trick of the trade. So that worked really, really well for me for a long time. But I had a particularly intense encounter with a guy that I mentioned earlier. I could really feel the IUD in my body. Same dude, probably the same night. That particular position and intensity and size and shape pushed the sponge up in there to where I couldn't get it out myself. Like, I tried over the course of a couple of days, many different positions, and I could just kind of feel it a little bit. So I had to make an appointment to get it removed. It was just wedged up in there. Because there are nooks and crannies. It's not just a tunnel. It's a cave. I've seen some visuals of castings that have been done of a variety of vaginas that show the shape. And it's lumpy and bumpy and there's turns and dips. And yeah, it's kind of cool. Just like there are all shapes and sizes of penises, there are all shapes and sizes of vaginas. So the sponge got way up in there. I had to go to the doctor, have it removed, and she said, well, you taught me something today. I didn't know this was a thing. It sounds like it's a really nice option. I was much more careful from that point forward. That guy was really fun. It's too bad he's a douchebag. Super douche. Really fun, though. Damn it. So anyway, after that, at some point, I realized the spotting wasn't going away and I'd had my limit. and made my appointment to have that one removed and the copper one reinserted. So as I did that, my doctor informed me that that situation created a whole new process within that entire medical system regarding how they double and triple check or whatever before putting something in someone's body. She said, you could have sued us. And I was thinking, oh shit, maybe I should have. Like, that could have been a nice chunk of change. It's a human error, you know? She grabbed the wrong thing. I'm so glad that they have a new thing in place to make sure that doesn't happen again, of course. But it was a simple human error, you know? I don't feel like it wasn't negligence. I don't know. So anyway, I got the copper one put back in. And I've had that one for a few years now. So the original one should have lasted me until age 50, but I'm 48 and I'm on my fourth one. So we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I knew I was missing something. So fast forward to maybe my next appointment or maybe the one after that, annual pap smear. You know, you're in the stirrups, you got your feet up, you know, we're shooting the shit, we're chatting. And she talks again about the whole thing and how thankful she was that I was as cool as I was about the whole thing. And as she's talking and she puts a little swab in to do a little scrapey scrape or whatever, she goes, ah! And she looks like she's seen a ghost. And she said, you're not going to believe this. I just pulled out your IUD. And she looks like she's about to cry. And I just bust out laughing. And she's like, no, it's not funny. And I said, it is hilarious. Maybe I'm not supposed to have one of these things, you know? So anyway, yeah, I think this is funny shit, you know? And she's just kind of in awe at how apparently unscathed I am from this whole thing, you know? And I'm like, whatever. So she's like, let me go see if we have one in the closet. I'll be right back. She came back with one, put it back in right away. So again, really fucking painful. Really, really painful. Like, did you know that men get anesthesia? They get offered anesthesia for, I don't even remember what it is, but it's something that isn't even really painful. It's just more like it can cause some anxiety or whatever. I have to look that up. And women don't get anesthesia for a plethora of things that are way more painful. So I get this final IUD. And she comes back in and she hands me my card. She's like, this one is good for 10 years. And I just want to forewarn you, I have no idea how this is going to work with billing. Just know that if you get a bill, ignore it. You're not paying for this. I just want to be clear about that. So anyway, that's the one I have now that Janet is wanting to say goodbye to. And my plan was to have it removed when I met the doctor again in May. Then I just remembered, well, I've had two of them removed accidentally twice now, and I don't remember there being much pain, if any at all, with the removal in the doctor's office either. So I Googled to see if I could remove it myself. And the overwhelming consensus is, yes, you can. You just pull the string and it folds up and it just comes right out. If the string is out, it's in a position where it can be removed safely. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it actually very soon because it's Shark Week, and that means my cervix is slightly more dilated than it is typically, and, you know, it's lubricated. It's going to just gently glide out is my point. So I needed to just find a moment when I'm very relaxed and when I can assume the correct position, which is kind of like a birthing position because that brings your cervix lower and closer to the opening of the vagina, so it's easier to reach. I was thinking I would talk about the other birth control experiences I had, but as I'm thinking about them, they don't seem very significant. I used the birth control pill when I was like 17, I think. 16 or 17 is when I got that. I just went to Planned Parenthood. I paid for it myself. Like, my parents didn't know. It just wasn't relevant. I wasn't being sneaky or anything. I was a very independent 16-year-old. I did that for a while. Then I got the Depo-Provera shot in my arm, and I really liked that because it was once every 4 months. I didn't get a period. I didn't have to remember to take it. It was nice. And I eventually stopped doing that because I could tell it was messing with me. The hormones were messing with me. I was getting acne and just felt funny. So I took some time off and that helped a lot. And at that point, I was a vegan and decided to practice natural family planning, like, you know, tracking my ovulation cycle by paying attention to my mucus and my temperature and blah, blah, blah. Well, at the time, in order to learn how to do it, you got this kit in the mail and you sent your like notes back to be reviewed and they would write back. It was all done through the mail and it was a Catholic service. So my paperwork came back with some opinions, perhaps, about my lifestyle. Basically, the fact that I was not a married woman and I was having sex. So I basically said, fuck you, I'll stop sending you my paperwork. I still feel like I was doing it correctly, though. However, I did get knocked up very quickly, actually. But you know what? I have an amazing, amazing kiddo because of that. Two of them because of that. And they are just phenomenal human beings. Anyway, between pregnancies, I didn't have any need to be on birth control. I think I might have been temporarily. I might have done the Depo-Provera again, but didn't stick with it. And then at one point, we just decided that we were open to having another baby and ended up needing fertility treatments to have that baby. So I had what was called secondary infertility, where you have no problem, get knocked up the first time, but then it's harder after that. So I definitely now, as I'm learning about how our bodies work and how in tune they are to our needs and what we're available for, like, I was very depressed. I was not keeping my body healthy. It wasn't an optimal situation to become pregnant, you know? But I did, and I'm so glad I did because I have two amazing boys. They're men now, two men, boys to men. They're into Boys to Men right now because of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So I come home and my kid's blasting Motown Philly. I bop in his room and I start singing along and dancing and he's like, I ruined it for him. It was great. After that, my ex got a vasectomy. And then after my divorce, I got the Paragard. And anyway, the reason I'm telling this story is because we need to talk about these things. Women need to be empowered to take charge of their reproductive systems and do things that are healthy for them. All these hormones and shit are not healthy for us. We need to start encouraging and potentially setting a boundary that preventing pregnancy needs to be more common for males. Vasectomies are great. They can be reversed. There are other options. You can do things like soak in a hot bathtub, kills the sperm. Not completely, it's not fail-safe, but it drastically reduces the number of sperm. There's other things too, but that was just one I remember reading about back in my natural family planning days. So anyway, let's talk about it. I definitely feel my fertile days remaining are very few, and I am 100% cool with that. No sadness for me whatsoever. I know there will be challenges when it comes to those hormone changes as far as mental health and shit. Like, I get fucking psycho during my PMS days currently. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho at night. No. Why am I singing this? I'm in perimenopause, which means things are slowing down. My womb is preparing to close its doors for good. 75% off. All inventory must go. We are in those stages right now. And there are definitely changes because of it that I can detect that aren't necessarily positive, but they're things I can work with. And there are some really positive changes. One of those things being, I'm not just this raging horny bitch all the time. And I'm okay with that. I no longer have the constant background message of, I need dick. I need dick. I need dick. That's been in the back of my head for decades. You know, that's like the background music to my story. It's not there anymore. But every once in a while, I'll notice that it's not there and I'll stop to check in. I'll say on purpose, like, I want dick or something along those lines. And Janet will say, yep, yep, we sure do. I'm still highly sensual. I'm still very capable of turn on and of desire. It's just not a nagging thing anymore. So it's been positive. The more I learn about sex and tantra and the possibilities, my aging and failing body isn't as much of an issue as I expected, because the deeper it gets, the less physically acrobatic and athletic it needs to be. Don't get me wrong, I am always down for a trip to Pound Town on the fuck truck. Totally down with that. I'm just not going to be going on any long road trips. You know, no spring break at Daytona Beach. No girls trip to Nashville unless we're flying. I just can't ride that long anymore, you know? My hips start to hurt and I'm going to need breaks to pee and some snacks. Hell, I'll whip some shitties in the high school parking lot right now. Just saying. Okay, so I just had a really lovely thought about the transporter device from Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. I bet that's really tingly. Anyway, what I'm saying is where I'm going, what I'm enjoying, doesn't have to be so athletic. Yes, there's a beautiful thing about two bodies slamming together, of course. Temporarily, though, you know? To cut to the chase, I'm learning that I can just lay there and breathe and have orgasms that are like, okay, imagine the best orgasm sensation you've experienced, right? It's probably a very intense sensation in the groin area for most people, right? Well, for me, it is the groin area, but also in addition to every other area in my entire fucking body, mind, and soul. My body buzzes in every way possible. Like I get goosebumps, and I get chills, and I get like shivers up my spine, and I feel like the veins in my body are electric or icy, almost minty. Like, it's like Electro in Spider-Man, which was super disappointing to me. Probably because Jamie Foxx was not portrayed as sexy at all. He's a sexy man. That's totally what it was. So anyway, I have that sensation instead of just concentrated in my genitals. It radiates through my entire being. And all I have to do is lay there and breathe. And I'm ready to experience that with another person. Clearly, it has to be the right person because that would freak people out. My body just like involuntarily moves and twitches and just shimmies and shakes. And that could scare the shit out of the wrong guy, you know? Somebody could lose an eye. So I'm learning that that pleasure is just so much more amazing. It's kind of like having a really nice fillet at the steakhouse versus a quarter pounder. It's like upgrading to a decked out brand new Escalade from your 1994 Ford Windstar minivan with crushed Cheerios in the back seat. It's like that. And all I have to do is lay there and breathe. And I don't know about you, but I plan to lay there and breathe until the day I die, which tells me I can have mind-blowing, I can have soul-blowing energetic orgasms in my hospice bed. That's pretty fucking cool. On that note, I think I'll say goodnight. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate you. Bye.